Okay, we're on Daf Chaf Bet tonight, so we'll begin on the Mishnah. Let's take a peek. So the Mishnah says on the top line of Chaf Bet 2a top line. So the Mishnah says, "Manitin Sukkah Hamadu Lalad B'Shetzila Tamru B'Mechamat Shira." Sukkah Medu Lalad. We don't know what Sukkah Medu Lalad is. The Gemara is going to have more than one shot. But the two pshatim that we'll deal with, and I'll speak of more in a few minutes, is either it's lightly covered with schach, very thin layer of schach, or and then the Mishnah is saying, but nevertheless, sila tamru mechamata, but there's more shade than sunlight, it's kshera, or, and we'll discuss, it means meduvlelet, I have two layers of schach, and neither layer by itself would be enough. We'll talk more in a bit. Okay? So sukkah meduvlelet, so the sukkah meduvlelet, and then or, and then we'll see either or its shade is more than its sunlight is kasher. If it's thick, if the schach is thick, like it would be in a house, even though you can't see the stars from inside the sukkah, it's kshera. Let's look at the Rashi. So Rashi says, like, I would ask, look, the first Mishnah in our Masechta says, if chamataz mruba misilataz psula, if there's more sunlight than shade, it's psula. And this Mishnah says more shade than sunlight is kasher. So Rashi says, I shouldn't ask, isn't it repeating things? Chamataz mruba misilataz psula, in undomo zulazu, they're not comparable. The mixture kashin adad, the remaining little bit gemara mishanim. So the gemara is going to ask, there is a contradiction between both of them, because this mishnah seems to say that unless it's more shade than sunlight, it's pasul. Unless it's more shade than sunlight. In other words, so if it's 50-50, it sounds like it's pasul. The first mishnah says if it's more sunlight than shade, it's pasul. The implication being that if it's equal, it's kosher. So that's the stira between the two mishnayot. The Gemara will ask that question and hopefully resolve it. All right? I'm going to go on to the Gemara, and then I'll pause in a few lines. So the Gemara says, my meduvlelet. What does sukkah meduvlelet mean? So Amar Rav, sukkah adiya. So Rav says it means like a meager sukkah. Let's look at Rashi. Is everybody muted? Because I'm hearing some noise. Let me just see. So Rashi says, adiya, it has very few reeds in its schach. It has a lot of space. It doesn't have any space that's three tefachim wide, nothing like that, but it's a very thinly layered sukkah. So the Gemara says that's Rav's pshat. Back in the Gemara, Shmuel Amar, Kana Ulev, Kana Ureid. Shmuel has a different shot, and you have the pictures. I think you have the picture books. Let me get the picture book open here. You have this picture book, that picture book, but let me get this picture book open. Okay, so 76? 73. Okay, so yeah. So in the Marot Sukkah, it's the lower left-hand picture. You see there's like two layers of schach, and each one has got a space in between the reeds. So each one is more chama than sail, each one by itself. Let's see back in the Gemara. So Shmuel Amar, Kana Ole B'Kana Yored. In other words, I've got one reed and then not. And let's look at Rashi. Kana Ole B'Kana Yored. So Hishvah Schach Lashkiva Kanim Zeitzelzeh. He didn't even out the Schach that the Kanim, that the reeds lie next to one another. Ela Chadamal B'Chadamata. One is above, one's below. Umitoka Chamatam Rubam Esilata. But it's more sun than shade. If I would put it together, I have more shade than sunlight. When they're separated, I have more sun than shade. But nevertheless, the way Rav is understanding the Mishnah, that teaches me, or the way the Shmuel is understanding the Mishnah, that teaches me that it's kasher. Let's see just a few more lines. So the Gemara says, Rav Tani Chada, Ushmuel Tani Torti. Rav learns that our Mishnah is speaking about one case, and one case is what he said. Sukkah Meduvlelet is Sukkah Aniyah, the meager Sukkah with the thin layer of Schach. Ushmuel Tani Torti. Shmuel learns that both cases are referred to in our Mishnah. Rav Tani Chada, Rav learns that the Mishnah is only speaking in one case, Sukkah Miduvlelet. It says a Sukkah Miduvlelet, my Miduvlelet, Midul Delet. It was like from Dal, it's like poor, meager Sukkah. Should see the Tamruba Mechamatak Shevra. So the way Rav understands the first one, two, three, first five words of the Mishnah is Sukkah Miduvlelet means Sukkah Hamidul Delet, like the meager Sukkah with the thin layer of Stach. If it has more shade than sunlight, it's kosher. So it's all one case, according to Rav. Back in the Gemara, Ushmul and Tani Tarti. Shmuel learns that there are two cases that the Mishnah is referring to. My Miduvlelet, what's the Miduvlelet? Milbul Belet. In other words, it's like uneven. It's like I got two layers of stock. Vitarti Katani. The Mishnah is teaching me two things. Mivulbelet Shera. The first is that if the two layers of schach, one above the other one, is kasher. And then, but silatamru mechamatak shera. Second case, if I have a light schach that Rav is referring to, as long as there's more shade than sunlight, that's kasher. All right, let me just pause for a minute.
How could there be more shade and yet it's thin?
No, it's like a sandwich, like any. Let's say I have a tuna sandwich. Right. Yeah, but which case are you referring to? You're talking about Rav's shot, on the sukkah on ya. Yeah. So it means I don't have a thick layer of schach, but I have enough.
So why is it thin?
In other words, it's very thin. In other words, it's just barely.
All I need is that.
All right, so that's all I'm making. So I'm barely over the dotted line, but it's kosher. All right.
I had a question. I thought Michael, you were asking another question. Sunlight doesn't stay still. As the day moves on, the dimensions and the balance changes. So how does that affect whether it's kosher where it is or not? Okay.
Yeah. So I wait a little bit into the Gemara, Smooth. I think we'll come to address a little bit of that issue, and then maybe we'll address that a little bit later, okay? Just be a little patient with that question, all right? All right, let's see further. Okay, everybody mute themselves again, okay? Everybody mute. Let's mute. Everybody mute. Okay. All right, so see, I'm going on the Gemara, okay? And then we'll pause in a little bit. So the Gemara says, now we're around 10 lines down. So Amar Abaye, says, now, again, let's go back. So according to Shmuel, one of the cases in the Mishnah is where I have the sukkah hamiduvlelet, but it means that it's sukkah hamibulbelet. It's like uneven. I have like two layers of schach, is the way the picture has it. And when the two layers, each space, in other words, on the lower layer, there's a space between each reed. And then above it, there's a reed that fills in over the space. In other words, so each one is sort of making up for the other one. Right. So let's see back in the Gemara. So we said that that the way that Shmuel learned the Mishnah, that Sukkah Amul Belet is Ksheira. So Amar Abaye, Lo Shanu, Elashain, Bein Zelzeh, Shloshat Tvachim. So Abaye says it's only if the space between the upper and the lower layer is less than three tefachim. So three tefachim, we know, is lavud. So if one is within three tefachim and the other, so I view it as one unit, and then I have kosher stach, the stach of all. Aval yesh bein zelzeh shlosha tefachim psula. But if I have three tefachim or more between one layer and the other layer, that's psula, because it's like two separate entities, and I don't have a single set of schach, we think that would be good. So now here's Amar Rava. Let's focus on Rava's din. And the side that says it should be Rava Amar. In other words, Rava Amar would be continuation. So Amar Rava, Rava Amar, Akilu Yesh Bein Zel Zeh Shloshat Tfachim. Even if there's more than three Tfachim between one layer and the next layer, Nami Lo Amran, it could still be kosher, Rava is saying. Even though there's more than three Tfachim, El She'en B'gago Tefa. It's only trafe. If there's like less, if the beams or whatever, the boards that are in the schach are less than a tefach in width. Aval yesh begago tefach, if the boards are a tefach or more in width, it's ksheira. Demrinan chavut rami. I'll say like like lower it and cast it down. In other words, it's teaching me another halacha about mechitzot. In other words, Chavit Ramin is going to teach me that if I have one board above a space, that I could view the whole board as being down at the same level as the other pieces of schach. So this is a corollary of good achid. So good achid, which we've had before, or I think is good achid is if I have a wall, right? So that I say the edge of the wall comes down and closes it down. So now the Gemara has, this is like a corollary of it, and it's saying Chavit Rami. In other words, I have a thickness of a tefach or more, and it's over the space below it. So I say it comes down, and we view it as one entity. Let me just do a little bit, and I'll pause, and then we'll digest, and we'll see this. Okay? In other words, there's tefach space below it, and then on top you have the solid. So it was the board. So the board on the first layer. So the case that the Gemara is going to bring is going to be a tefach wide, but I would think that it's the key is the one that's upstairs. That's what I would think. But that's the way. Let's see how the Gemara plays it out.
Why is it not tikra yored besotein?
Tikra yored besotein. Okay, just hold off. Wait. Let me just finish the little piece, then we'll talk. Okay. Okay. I mean, the short answer is p'tikra yored besotem is when I have an existing roof, and the roof is complete, and then the edge of the roof, I view is like p'tikra yored besotem. So p'tikra yored besotem was also connected to the idea of good achid. They're all connected. All the ideas are connected, but you're just giving me a different application of it, Fern. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara, let's see back. Let me just take a look. Okay. So we're one line above the Aleph in parentheses. So I'm a Rava, Minaminallah. Rava says, where do I know this halacha? Now, again, when he's referring to this halacha about Chavut Rami, it's halacha Moshe Mishinai, but where do I see this? So I'm a Rava, Minaminallah. Now here the Bach has, if there's a tefach in Minach Chavut Rami, if there's a one tefach with, I'll say Chavut Rami, Bechilepe and the brackets Tefach, Lomrin Chavut Rami. Where do I see that I need one Tefach in order to invoke this rule? Then we learn the Mishnah Masechet Aholot, and when it says Aholot, so we know it's talking about, you know, Tuma and Ohel. Then Korota Bayit V'Ha'Aliyah She'in Alihem Ma'aziva. Let's say I have planks in the house, like it's like a two-story type of home. I have like the bottom, you know, the floor and then the upper floor. So the bottom floor has like a ceiling roof over it, but there are planks and then there are spaces between the planks. And then the upper floor also has planks and spaces between the planks. So it says, Korota Bayit Baliya, I have like planks or beams in the Bayit and in the Aliyah, She'in Aliyah Maziva, there's no plaster attached to any of them. They're all lined up exactly. So each one, there's a plank space, plank space, plank space. And the next floor up, there's plank space, plank space, plank space. And the planks are exactly lined up and the spaces are exactly lined up. So if I look up the space, it goes all the way through. And then plank, plank, I have things. Let's see back in the Mishnah. Tuma tachat akatnihem. If there's tuma under one of the planks, let's say kazayit min amed is under one plank, tachteh tameh. So underneath it, it's tameh. Beinat tachton lo yona. Let's say the tuma is between, you know, the ceiling of floor A and the roof of floor B. He says beinahem tameh. So then the space in between them is tameh. Al gabi hal yona kinegda. If it's on top of the upper plank, then going upwards it's tame. Okay, so the basic idea he's saying is the plank constitutes an ohel. So each plank is an ohel. We've had this before. And so if I have tuma under one plank, so it goes up to the plank, and then that's it, because there's a space there, so it doesn't go past it. And if the tuma is on top of the plank, then the tuma is between plank on A and plank on B. And if the tuma is on top of B, it goes up the rakia. Okay, one minute. He says, now, It says, Hayu ha'elyonot kibein ha'tachtonot, if the planks were like interspersed. So I have plank space, plank space, plank space on the ceiling of A. And then I have plank space on the ceiling of B, but the planks are over the spaces. So what's the plank on A, there's a space above it. And what's a space on A, there's a plank above it. So basakho, if I stick them both together, I have a solid, solid surface. So he says, Hayu elyonot kibein ha'tachtonot, tuma tachtein tachat kulan. So if I have tuma under any of the planks, it's under all of them. In other words, I view it as one solid surface. In other words, it's we're demonstrating Kavod Rami. In other words, Kavod Rami tells me that for halakha purposes, I view it as like the planks are all lined up. The planks are all lined up. He says, tuma tachtein tachat kulan, tamei al gabein. If there's tuma on top of one of the planks, down the rakia tameh, then upwards it's to the heavens of tameh. Okay, the adkan is the Mishnah. Now, Batani Allah, we learned the Braisa concerning that Mishnah. And again, remember, Rabbi's looking for the, he's trying to find a source that it has to be a tefach wide in order to invoke Chavot Rami. So, Batani Allah, we learned concerning this in the Braisa. When do we invoke this din of Chavot Rami? When each plank is a tefach in width and there's a tefach in space next to each plank. And then presumably the planks upstairs are also one tefach in width. That's the way Rashi takes it. So everything's a tefach. Aval ein bein in poteach tefach, if there's less than a tefach space between the planks on a ceiling, he says, tuma tachat achat mihen tachteh tamei. But if I don't have a tefach space, and then presumably the planks upstairs are not a tefach in width. Now, I'm not going to say Chavot Rami. So that's the case. So if tuma under one of them, then tachteh tameh, under there it's tameh. Benehen be al gabeh and tahor. But between them on top of them is tahor. Alma, kiyit be tefach amin Chavot Rami. So the implication of this Mishnah and Braisa is if there's a width of a tefach, I can invoke the principle of Chavot Rami, which is to take it and cast it down. He says, otherwise I don't say that. Okay, let me just summarize what we did so far, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So the basic idea, we said that according to Shmuel, one of the cases in the Mishnah is it says sukkah ha meduvlele, but Shmuel understands that as like sukkah ha meduvlele, that I have two layers of schach, and one layer I have reed space on lower layer A, and then on layer B, I have reed space. So each one is chamatam ruba mitzilata. Each one is more sunlight than space. But Shmuel teaches me that, so Rava taught me that, Shmuel teaches me that the Pshat Mishnah is that they're kosher. So then in the Gemara said, Abai said it's only there's less than three tefachim between the two layers. Less than three tefachim, I view as one unit. That's what Abai said. Then Rava said, even if there's more than three tefachim, we can still view it as one, provided that the reeds or the planks are a tefach or more in thickness. So if they're the tefach or more in thickness, then I'll invoke this principle of Chavot Rami, which is like cast it down, and it means that I'll view it as one. I'll view the two layers as one, even though there's more than three tefachim between them. And we said that that's a corollary of good achid. And you mentioned Pitikra Yorib Sotem is also in that family. So Rabbi says, where do I know the din that it has to be at least one tefach in thickness in order to say Chavot Rami? So Rabbi quoted the Mishnah in Masechet Ahalot, which says if I have like a ceiling and then I have a ceiling on top of it, and each one has a plank space, and the planks and spaces are interspersed. So with space on one floor will be plank on the other floor. So as long as there's a tefach thickness, I'm going to say Chavot Rami. That's the way that he understands the Braisa and the Mishnah. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I did so far? What's up? Yeah, let's say planks. Yeah. Right. No. So if it depends whether you have Chavot Rami or not. So if the planks are lined up one on top of the other one, then only the area under the plank is tame. If they're not lined up,
not lined up, like over here. The tuma is right here. What comes from it?
When you will yonah kibena tachtonot. Right. So here's the tuma. Right.
That whole thing comes.
Right. So everything is tame. Everything
here.
Even there would be tame as well.
Let's say the tame is on this thing over here.
Yeah, so I don't know. In other words, the two come together. So you want to know, is it just the first floor or the second floor as well? So lechora, everything that's underneath here is tame. That's lechora, that's the way it goes. So, but he's saying Chabot Rami, we're bringing it down. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know about the second floor. I don't know what's doing with the second floor. I'm not sure about the second floor.
Here,
for sure there, yeah.
And if it was tame here,
if there's tuma there, so I think we would also. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, I believe this. Okay, okay. Let me just put it here. Take this. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? All right. All right. Let's move on. All right. Okay. So that's the idea. So we learned the klal of Chabot Rami, or we have some understanding of it. Okay. Now we're 6 lines from the bottom on Chabez and Menalev. Okay. Yatib Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana was seated, and he was reviewing this halacha from Rava. Rava says, "I'll say if it's a tefach wide, I'll say chabot rami." Says Amrli Ravashi. Ravashi said to Rav Kahana, "Amrli Ravashi to Rav Kahana, but kolhei kolhei tefach lo mina chabot rami. You mean if there's not a tefach in width, I don't say chabot rami." He says, "Vahatani." We're learning the brisa, and there's a long brisa, and we have to be patient with it. But from this brisa, he's going to attempt to prove that even if it's not a tefach in thickness, we're going to say chabot rami. Okay, that's the way the thrust is going. But tani. Now this brisa is talking about a mavui. Remember, we have a mavui is an alleyway, and we'll say it's closed on three sides, and one side opens up to the Rishud Rabim, and then you have a lechi or a korah at the entranceway. So we're dealing with a korah. Korah is a horizontal beam across the entranceway. Let's see. So the Gemara says, "Ba'atanya korah hayotza b'kotel zeh." If I have a korah coming out from one wall, it doesn't reach. It's supposed to go across from wall to wall, but it doesn't reach all the way across the second wall. Or I have two beams, each coming out from the wall opposite one another. But they don't reach to each other. So in other words, I'm looking for a korah that goes from wall to wall. So I don't have a korah that goes from wall to wall. He says, but if the beam got within three tfachim let's say the beam is coming out from wall A, it's trying to get to wall B. It doesn't get to wall B, but it's within three tfachim of wall B, I'm good to go. Then three tfachim is labud, so it's closed. And if I have two beams coming out, and two beams don't reach one another, but they're within three tfachim, I'm also good.
What? Those are pictures 273 and 274.
Okay. So that's right. Okay, so all right, we got the pictures, we're good. Okay, let's take a look. Now it says if it's three or more tbachim, then he's in trouble. He needs to bring another beam in order to carry them there. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, and that's Rebbe's father, turn page. Hachot ni arba in tzirich levi korah keret. Arba tzirich levi korah keret. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that labud is not three tfakim, it's four tfakim. So instead of three, it has to be within three tfakim, it's got to be within four tfakim, according to Gamliel. That's not the halakha we need, okay? That's just an aside, okay? Now, l'chein shtei korah amati mot. Now, here I have, now the beam that goes across is supposed to be a tefach by a tefach. And the Gemara learned that it was supposed to be able to support an ariach. The ariach was the half brick. So just to refresh your recollection, the ariach is 1.5 tefach in width. And in other words, a whole brick levada would be 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. The ariach is half a brick. So it's 3 tefachim by 1.5 tefachim. So the 1.5 tefachim will extend over a quarter tefach on each side of the beam. That's what it has. That's the way it should work, and it should be able to support that. She says, "V'chein shtei korot matimot." Now, let's say I have two beams. Neither beam is a tefach in thickness. He says, "Lo bezukidei lekabel ariyach." Neither one is wide enough to support the ariyach. "Lo bezukidei lekabel ariyach." "Im kablod ariyach l'rachbo tefach ein tzrich labi korach cheret." So it means, if I take these two beams, let's say each beam is half a tefach in thickness, and I take the two beams and I put them together, so together I have a tefach, and that'll support the brick, I'm still okay, the Bryce is saying. But if not, then you have to bring, you got to bring another, if it's not strong enough or it doesn't add up that with that thickness, you have to bring another beam. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, now, Rav Shmuel has a further kula. He says, all is not lost. Let's say it doesn't add up to a whole tefach. I could separate them out and then take the ariyah, if I could separate them out, and place the ariyah like lying on both of them, like a hammock, yeah, like straddling both of them. So the ariyach will hang over the air, but it'll have on one, it'll have one mini beam and the other hand the other mini beam. And the two mini beams will be strong enough to support the ariyach. We're still okay, according to Rav Shmuel Gamliel. So Rav Shmuel Gamliel, in mekabelot ariyach l'orko shloshat tefachim, if it could be like across, so the length of the ariyach is three tefachim, so if it could support it, ein tzrich lavi korach cheret, and lav tzrich lavi korach cheret. All right, now we're getting to where we need to go. Hayu achat lamala v'achat lamata. So now let's say I have these mini beams that are half a tefach in thickness, but they're not on the same level. One is lamala, one is higher than the other one. He says, "Hayu achat lamala v'achat lamata." Rabbi Dosa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, roin hal yona ki hi lamata. We view the upper one as if it's on the same level as the lower one. In other words, it's an application of Chavot Rami. You know, we're going to say, you want to lower it down there, the bottom one like it's up there. Those, we view them both as being on the same level. So they're not on the same level. We view them both as being on the same level. Provided the other one, the one is not higher than 20 amot. We know that the Korah can never be higher than 20 amot, so that neither one is higher than 20 amot. He says, and it has to be above 10 tefachim. So it means nothing is higher than 20 amot. Nothing is less than 10 tefachim. But one is here. One is at, you know, maybe the 18th amah in height. And the other is at the third amah in height. So we're going to bring them both down together. That's the end of this Mishnah, right? This is the Mishnah. A Braisa. That's the end of the Braisa. So Rav Ashi now is asking Rav Tana the following question. Azeb is betoch esrim. So if both of them are below 20 amot and above 10 tefachim, imrinan chavot rami, you're going to say chavot rami, afal gav leipi tefach, even though it's clear that neither one is a tefach and witness and width, because that's the case we're talking about. Neither one is a tefach and width. So together they could be a tefach, right? But neither one by itself is a tefach, and yet we're going to say chavot rami. So that's the question Rav Ashi is asking Rav Kahana. So Amalei, so Rav Kahana says back to Rav Ashi, Taritzvei Mahachi, you should understand the Braisa as follows. Uvovad, Shlotei Yono Lamala Miyasrim, provided the upper one is not above 20 amot, Elo B'toch Esrim, V'atachtona Smuch Ala B'pachot Mishlosha. In other words, that they're within each, within three tefachim of the other. In other words, indeed, we do say it is limited to one tefach. And we're not going to say Chavot Rami here because it's less than a tefach. But what the Braisa is saying, according to Rav Kahana, is that when both beams are within three tefachim of one another, then we can bring them down to the same level. Inami, or, and this is the way he understands the Braisa, Bavaj Totitachon Lamatam Yasar, provided the lower one is not below 10 tefachim, El Lamalam Yasar, it's above 10 tefachim, V'Elyona Smukhalab Pacham Mishlosha. And the upper one is close to it, but within three tefachim. So the way he's touching it up, if you look back, you know, in the Braisa, it's around 50, like four lines below the small bays. So the Braisa said, Vad, Shlotei Elyon Laman Lamei Esrim, provided the upper one is not above Esrim, but it means, and the Tachtona is within three tefachim of it. And then the bottom one can't be less than 10 tefachim, and the Elyon is within 3 tefachim of it. Back in the Gemara where we were, but if there's more than 3 tefachim between these two beams, lo rin chavot rami, then we would not say chavot rami. So we had a question about chavot rami. We said chavot rami only applies when it's a tepach width, and then Rav Ashi has the kasha against Rav Kahana, and Rav Kahana was able to deflect the question. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far?
Together, do they have to add up to the one tefach, according to who was the Manzamra that said it?
So again, I thought that was easier. According to the Tanakhama, together they have to add up to a tefach in order to be a korah. But according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that they don't have to add up to a tefach, provided that they could support the brick, so that would apply as well. All right. Any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay. All right. So I'm going to move on. Okay. All right. Now, Ruth, you still there, Ruth? All right. Ruth, now is the sugya for you. Okay. Let's listen. Let's focus on the sugya and see if we can figure this out. Okay. We said if there's more shade than sunlight, then it's a kosher sukkah. So the Gemara says, Hakia dadi psula. The implication of the Mishnah is, if it's the same amount of shade as sunlight, then it's psula. Same amount of shade as sunlight is psula. Bahatanan, so the Gemara says, we learned the first Mishnah, Masechta, Bida Pirkin, Mishachamatamru b'mislata psula, that if it's more sunlight than shade, it's psula. Hakia dadi kshera. The implication is, if it's the same amount, it's kasher. So I'm asking, or the Gemara is asking, so what's the story? Is 50-50 kosher or treif? From our Mishnah, it sounds like it's psula. From the first Mishnah, it sounds like it's kshera. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, kan milamala, kan milamata. So the Gemara says, it depends where you're measuring it from. Our Mishnah is talking about measuring it at the schach. In other words, at the level of the schach, I'm like looking at the level of the schach. In other words, like let's say you'd imagine yourself looking from above at the schach and seeing how much, sunlight comes through the schach. So there the Gemara is saying that I need more shade than sunlight as I look at the schach, even though, that things are going to expand when it gets down. In other words, the sunlight expands when you get lower. He says, lo kasha, kami lamala, kami lamata. So our Mishnah is talking about when I view it at the level of the schach. So there I need more shade than sunlight. The other Mishnah that says that, that it could be 50-50 is talking about when I'm viewing it on the floor of the sukkah. So if the sunlight comes through the roof, then it expands out. So it's going to be larger, more sunlight when I look at it on the floor of the sukkah. All right, so let me just do a little bit more, then I'll come to you, Ruth. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Papa." Rav Papa says, "Hanaz Amri Inshi." That's what people say. Kizuzu Milael. I could have the size of a zuz as a small coin. I'll say a penny. In other words, like if I have a space of a penny upstairs in the schach, here it's talking about like sunlight. In other words, so if I have a size of a zuz of sunlight at the schach level, I'm going to have the size of an istra down below, right? That's what Rashi says. So anyway, with your question about the day, the time of the day, and things like that, so I would assume that it would be examined, let's say, at high noon. That's the way I would imagine. Like the sun is at high noon, and you're looking through the schach, and you're looking at the floor, the sukkah. That's the way I would imagine that to analyze about with the spaces. And the Gemara is saying that if I'm looking at, like let's say, I'm looking at the schach. So if when I'm looking at the schach, there's more sail than the chama, I'm good. Otherwise, not. That's basically what is coming out. All right. Let me do 3 more lines, and then I'll pull. Yeah. So again, from our Mishnah, it sounds like if it's 50-50, it's pasul. From the first Mishnah, it sounds like 50-50 is kosher. So the Gemara says our Mishnah is talking about if I'm looking at the spaces in the schach itself. In other words, I see level in the schach itself. There I need more shade than sunlight. The Mishnah later on is talking about I'm looking on the floor of the sukkah. On the floor of the sukkah. So on the floor of the sukkah, the sun expands out. So that could be 50-50 is kosher. Okay, because it means that upstairs is more and more stale than shade.
But okay. I think Ruth's question was, is it possible that the sukkah is kosher some time of the day and
No. That's what I was saying. It can't be kosher some of the day and some possible part of the day. So I was saying that you should look at the sukkah like, or imagine the sukkah when the sunlight is directly over the schach. That's what I was saying. But I mean, if you're looking at the schach, it really doesn't make a difference because you could see whether you got more schach than sunlight. You could just see that. So if there's more schach than sunlight, then you're good. But in terms of analyzing the shade on the floor and things like that, so I would do it like at midday. Okay, let's take the Gemara. Now, Uva come in by it. Now we said in the Mishnah that if it's thick, like I feel like in the house, the schach is so thick. So the Gemara said it's still kosher, even though I can't see the stars. So, or actually, we said in the Mishnah that, even though I can't see the stars. So let's see, Uva k'min by it, Tan Rabbanan, Uva k'min by it, Alpha pi shena kufim nirin mi tochak shera, even though I can't see the stars, shera. But ain kuf bechama nirin mi tochak. Now here, kuf bechama means I can't see the rays of sunlight in it. Let's say it's so thick, I can't see the rays of sunlight in the sukkah. Beit Shammai postlein Beit Hillel Machshirim. So that's machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. All right. Now, let me just see if I have some things here, and then we'll go on. One minute. Is there any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good? Okay, happy group. All right, one minute. Okay. All right, let me do a little piece with this. Now the Mishnah on Chaf Beis states that a thickly covered sukkah is valid, even if the stars are not visible from inside the sukkah. The Gemara and Chafez and Beis has a Beit Hillel is of the opinion that even if the schach is so dense, it's not allowed kof pecham, the rays of the sun to penetrate, is still valid. Note as mentioned above, Tosfos the opinion that if the schach is so dense that it prevents even rain from entering, sukkah is pasul. That's the way they always bring it down. If it's so thick that rain can't come in, that's pasul. The Ron and the Rush, citing the Rishalmi, state that Beis Hillel validates such a sukkah only with the Eved. So even though, in other words, again, so we said in the Mishnah that Beit Hillel holds kosher even though I can't see the rays of sun, but that's only with the Eved. Chachila, the schach should be sparse enough to allow sun rays to enter the sukkah. The Bach infers from the wording of the Tur that lechachila, even the nighttime star should be visible from inside the sukkah. The Mishnah rules, however, that those living in colder regions who are discomforted by the wind and cold do not conduct themselves in accordance with the Bach. In such regions, one may place a dense covering of schach for protection from the elements, even if this prevents visibility of the stars, as long as the sun rays are visible during the daytime. Two reasons are given for the requirement of star visibility. So, lechachila, you should see the stars. So why should I see the stars? So the Meiri explains, the sages are concerned that a sukkah which is very densely covered might resemble an ordinary house roof, leading one to think that a house roof is also valid for a sukkah covering. I mean, we don't make this chiluk between a house and sukkah. I want you to think like, you know, I could be in the house, and it was, so I see the stars. The Prima Gadim explains that leaving one's comfortable home to dwell in a sukkah is a lesson on the transience of one's life and on earth, and that Hashem created the world and controls it. Observing Hashem's expansive handiwork, the stars of the heaven from inside the sukkah, inspires one to reflect on this sublime lesson. So it's an idea. Like a lot of the poskim like speak about this, like there's a Rashbam, you leave the house, you leave your wealth, you go to the sukkah, and the sukkah, like 7 days of sukkah, so represents like 70 years of a man's life, and you're supposed to have like cheshbon. You know, he didn't say it here, but I'm thinking also the there's an idea in the Zohar that the matzah is called mechla de me'muta, the bread of emuna, and the sukkah is called tila de me'muta, the shade of emuna. And it was like you have to feel like you're under Hashem's like protection, so the stars help. Now, the Prima Gadim, in keeping with his understanding of the requirement for star visibility, asserts that as long as there is an opening over one part of the sukkah through which the stars can be viewed, it is sufficient to remind one of the above lesson. The Bikur Yaakov, this Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, however, disagrees and maintains that since the reason for the requirement is that one may confuse dense schach with imbalanced schach, i.e. a roof, as the Miri says, it should be treated as schach basol rachila. Therefore, one should make certain that there are small gaps within every 3 or 4 tefachim in the schach, since 4 tefachim exceeds the maximum allowed for schach basol. It was not that it is schach basol, but we have to treat it that way and create like the hechsher within every 3 or 4 tefachim, he said. Okay. Let me go on to the next piece of Gemara, unless there's any questions, comments, or thoughts. Okay, let me see further. So, all right. So Mishnah says, "Hosesu ketober rosh ha'agala rosh ha'spina." Now, let's say I build a sukkah on an agala, on a wagon. So agala is mobile. So I have like this portable sukkah. He says, "Ober rosh ha'spina." The way Rashi takes it, rosh ha'spina is very vulnerable to winds and being knocked down. So if I build a sukkah in either one of those fashions, it's shera. It's still kosher sukkah. We're only allowed to be yomtov. One can enter the sukkah on yomtov, and he has that phrase only because the next, in other words, obviously can enter on sukkahs, but the next case in the Mishnah, you can't enter. That's why he puts it here. Now, Barosha Ilan, let's say I build a sukkah like a tree house. I build a sukkah in the tree. Now, or I build a sukkah on top of a camel. And I think we have a picture of it here in the picture book. And then where's our picture book? Where's camel? Okay, I have it. Okay, so this is on page 80 in the picture book. And you see the nice sukkah in the treehouse, and you see the nice sukkah on the camel. All right, so let's take a look. So he says, "Rosh Hashanah gavi gamal kshera." So it's kasher, ve'ein olin la b'yamto. But I'm not allowed to enter such a sukkah on yantiv. I can't enter the sukkah on yantiv if it's on a gamal. So I'm not allowed to go on a gamal. I can't lean on a gamal. It's a gzera because I'm afraid it'll be tolish and, you know, take a break off a branch to hit the gamal with. So I can't do anything with the gamal. And then same thing with the tree. I'm not allowed to climb a tree, lean against the tree on Shabbos or on Yantiv. I'm afraid I'm going to be tolish some of the branches. So therefore, let's look at Rashi on 5 lines from the bottom. The gazer rabbanon din olin the ilan din shtam shem bo shem yitlosh. Way before that, kshera. So it's a kosher sukkah, but I can't access it on Yantar. Okay, back in the Mishnah, 4 lines from the bottom. So now he gets into the issue, when is a sukkah viewed as like a treehouse sukkah, when is it not a treehouse sukkah? So Shtayim B'ilan, if two of the walls are, you know, are supported by the tree, one is supported by the ground. And I think we have pictures of this. So in the picture book, you have it. And a nice picture. That's picture 291 on the lower right-hand corner of page 80. So I have one wall that's supported on the ground and two walls are supported by the tree. That's Steinbilam Akapi Deadam. Oh, Steinbilam, or let's say I have two walls that are supported from the ground. One is supported by the tree. So same thing. It's kasher, but I can't use it on yantiv because anything is supported by the tree. In other words, if I don't have a kosher sukkah without the tree, I can't access it. Shalosh b'adam. But if I have three walls that are resting on the ground, v'chak b'ilan, and one is resting on the tree, shera b'olam yantiv. Then it's kshera, and I can use it on yantiv because even without the tree, I have three walls, and it's still a sustainable structure even without the tree. Now, the top line on Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, Zehakwal, Kol Shein Atel HaIlan, the full Lam Ovis, Ne'at Smok Shera. Anything that if I would remove the tree, the structure could stand by itself, that's Kasher, Ba'olin Lab Yom Tov, and I could use it on Yom Tov. Okay, that's the piece with that. All right.
How come they're not talking about removing the Kamal? How come they're not talking about whether the structure can stand when I remove the Gamal?
Okay, all right. So I think that's going to be it for tonight. It's nice seeing everybody. Let me end the recording. Right. Say again, repeat. Which one? But they can't go on Yantiv, right? What about them? So it's similar, like it's like climbing a tree. Let's say leave the sukkah out of it. Let's say I climb a tree Friday afternoon, and now I'm in the tree going into Shabbos. So I'm really in a tight spot. I'm not allowed to descend the tree. I don't know what to do. So he'd be in a difficult situation. I'm not sure what he would do in a situation like that, but it's a very difficult situation to be in. All right, let me end the recording. Let's.